Now we are on air all together without feedback, because are you on?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Hello and welcome. You are about to listen to a story about radio making and self-empowerment by a group of migrant and refugee women and activist mothers in the Ruhr Valley of Germany in times of pandemic lockdowns. My name is Claudia Wegener, aka Radio Continental Drift. My interviewees and fellow activists of Mums Mike Radio were recording themselves on handheld audio recorders in their homes, as much as I did. Each of us in a different city, alone in front of a screen, joined, however, in time and listening and radioactive motivation to reach out. With me are Mahtab and Nadia from the group Mums Mike. And before we start, I would like to ask both of you to introduce yourselves with your name, and if you want, where you are, describe where you are. And tell us a little bit something in terms of where do you come from. You can take this question as open as you wish. Give us a story. Where do you come from? Tell us something that made you who you are now, that is with you now. It can be way back, but give us a little story. It shouldn't be too much, because we want to tell the story of the radio, but give us a little insight. Please, one of you, Nadia, Mahtab, who would like to start?
Yeah, I can start. So my name is Mahtab. I have lived in Essen for 4 years now. I originally come from Iran. I grew up in a, I would say, rather political family. So I really learned about inequality, about injustice in the world rather early. And also growing up in Iran, I faced a lot of violence, and political oppression was the first thing that you would encounter when it comes to something that you want to change. And this is what inspired me to be to become an activist, to become someone who searches for something that is just. And when I came to Germany, of course, there is this whole package that you bring with yourself as a migrant. And before that, I had lived in Turkey for 1 year. And also, once I did this master's program, so I lived in Turkey for 1 year and like half year in Germany and half year in Brussels. So I had this also international experience with me that things are different, situations are different in different countries and circumstances, but there is never this like one solution to everything where you can fix everything everywhere. So there is this process where you learn about things in a new place. And this is what I went through when I came to Germany again, knowing that I would be living here for a long time. So I try to learn about movements, learn about what people are struggling with. And when I became a mom myself, then I was facing with a whole lot of new things that are not what they should be. Because when you have a child, then you notice that there are a lot of things not going really well. Not protecting your child, not making the surrounding as secure as you want your child to be in. This inspired me to initiate with this radio program and start telling people that as a migrant mom, there are a lot of things that you go through, that you experience, that is not usually represented and reflected upon by anyone who has not been in these situations. I was fortunate to have met really, really nice people on my journey, through whom I found Nadia. I met Nadia.
I see myself as a lucky Syrian woman. And this is, I mean, I don't think like there is a high percentage from a lucky Syrian woman. So because of, I mean, what I mean, open mind family, it was, we grown up like to be, not tell our opinion in public, but still my parents, I mean, explained to us that where we live, I mean, in Syria, you are not allowed even to say anything because it's dangerous. But it's understandable that you are seeing the what's happened actually as wrong or right, but don't tell anyone because this gonna cause you, as my dad told us, like a lot of problems that will make the life complicated. I mean, in a country like Syria, you can't even open your mouth. So I just get my share of being, I mean, living freely, do whatever I want, parents supporting me, but still there is a part that we are this fear inside. So, and this fear grows and grows and grows. And to be honest, I never thought about say anything because I thought maybe this is the easy way. I mean, so I just moved to do a lot of activities and to help children, orphans, old people in my country. I did that for a long, long time, but there is actually no chance to do any demonstration or something like this till the last few years when the revolution starts. So of course, I mean, I thought this is our chance actually after all these years to say something. Still, it wasn't that easy. I mean, evil most of the time, I mean, yeah, stay the strong part till now. It's actually a sad story, like the evil side in my country still controlling everything. So, and when I moved after that, because I ran away from my country, there I have no any more chance to stay there. So I went to Turkey. I noticed also, I mean, the moment I leave the country, I noticed that I can be now, I mean, free and say whatever I want. But actually I just wanted to be planned, because saying whatever you want, I mean, means nothing also, or change nothing. So in Turkey, I lived there 3 years and I thought about, it's my chance, so I can do something. To be honest, I was alone. I tried to do something alone, but I was going back to camps and people in the camps. I mean, it was always humanitarian, but nothing like to go out and say a word and it could be change something. Whenever I came to arrived here, I was always want to do, I mean, to talk about, even talk about the stories. I noticed later, I mean, you can even talk, you don't have to change, but this, I mean, with the time can do something. The change never came like this. Maybe I was like so, I mean, so challenged and I want to change quickly. But then I noticed, yeah, everything has to take its time. And I started here, I mean, to help actually, without any goal, to help the refugees that I am one from, and like to try to whatever I can, to try to translate, to try to say what they want. I mean, to try to help in any field that I can help. And for the first time also, I noticed that, I mean, talking about change can also be something, I mean, I touch me personally. So I just don't want to talk about general aspects. I'm personally in the circle now. So I'm not defending anyone. I'm not changing for, I'm doing that for me also. And yeah, and then we met together.
So yeah.
Thank you very much, Mahtab and Nadia. It's very insightful. Thanks for your stories. Mahtab is an Iranian woman and Nadia a Syrian woman. They both came as refugees to Germany. And no, I'm not correct. Can it not even be a summary for both of you? Even though you... okay, we need to correct it. Hold on. We can't hear you.
We can't hear you.
Sorry. I came here on a family reunion visa because my husband is doing his PhD here. So I came on a family reunion on a student visa. So as a migrant, basically. As a migrant... Yeah. Yeah, this is how we also define ourselves as migrants and refugees, because at the end of the day, it is not really, there is a technical legal difference, but in terms of experiences, there are so many similarities and overlap.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me try it again then. I think it's important. Thank you. So we are talking to Mahtab from Iran and Nadia from Syria. They belong to the group of migrant and refugee women in Germany. And they just gave us a little bit of their background story, what it means to grow up in countries where either you brought up in a family as an activist to speak out and you live in danger since childhood, or you are brought up not to say anything, but you live with the knowledge and grow up with the knowledge of constant danger. These are things that your fellow citizens in Germany, German fellow citizens, and many others will not know. So it's very important, at least in my mind, that you tell your story, because by telling each other's story, we really learn a lot about our privileges as well. So you...
And with privileges comes responsibility.
Yes, and you took it. That was my next point, because you moved to amplify your own voices in a radio show. Let's try to tell this story step by step. Coming together as women, it is not an easy thing, because in every country there are so many demands on women, daily demands of survival, and on moms even more so. You managed to bring together a group of women and produce the first show. Would you like to say something about the other women? And a little bit about it, please, about the struggle and the success of gathering yourselves as women. I know from myself it's a constant struggle. Tell us a little bit about this.
So I tell you first about the women whose voice you hear on the first episode. There you hear Negin, who was pregnant at that time. And I met her through this circle of Persian-speaking women. there was a group conducted by Donum Vitae where you could get support. It was called Tea Time. So you could go there and have a group of women, Farsi-speaking women, with a midwife. We had daily, not daily, weekly sessions, once a week. And I went there when I was, I think, halfway pregnant. I learned about this group. And it was a nice support group. But, people have different levels of business when it comes to being a mom and having jobs and having a lot of other responsibilities. So there I managed to connect with Nagin, and she had a three-year-old at that time and now has two, a son and a daughter. And we connected and we continued to communicate mostly via WhatsApp when it came to the lockdown and quarantine, and there was no more weekly sessions. And I still think about the fact that it was a great opportunity for many women who don't get to find a midwife. And it is really important because for many women, it is not easy to find one. It was the only opportunity for them to at least talk to a midwife while they were pregnant or after having the baby. It is still happening online, but like via WhatsApp, but it is different when you just have a question and you talk on WhatsApp and record your voice. It's totally different when you go there and there is this group of moms and each one of them gives you their experience, and it's much more meaningful, at least for such a group, to meet in person. You hear Nagin there, and you hear also from Rosie. Rosie is a friend of mine, and she has a daughter who is 1 month older than my son. And we always chatted since the kids were there, and sometimes we used to say, oh my God, I cannot even have a normal conversation because I'm always with a 1 month old, 2 months old, 3 months old, and then there is no social contact. And then we thought, okay, this is a voice that needs to be heard, and she is also educated. She has a PhD from a university in London, and then she came here and gave birth to her daughter. And yeah, through this friendship, we came together. So I think our connections would have been really different if it was not for Corona, but these are at least two contacts that we managed to maintain online. And I find this double isolation really hardening our situation. Also, I have a 2.5-year-old, and Nadia's daughter is a bit older, but still, I can, 8-year-old, and there are different stages, so different stages of difficulty, but I can still imagine that this isolation for women with really small children is really even harder in these times. And what I'm looking forward to do as soon as Corona is for my at some point is gone.
Hold on a moment. We'll take it step by step. Because this was already worthwhile just keeping for a moment and saying, okay, there is this double isolation of being a mom, especially of a very small child, and being entirely on your own. And as we know, directly after birth, it's even more difficult because many women after birth experience postnatal depression.
Yeah.
It's quite common, and it will definitely be stronger if you are entirely on your own And then also as a migrant or refugee woman, with the language barrier, with all the social barriers that there are. So yeah, now it doubles that situation. Nadia, I give the word to you.
Actually, I came here alone. So my goal was from the beginning, because I left my daughter and my husband at that time in Turkey, and I came here trying to reunion my family. And my goal from the beginning was bring my family to here, which took me 3 years to do that. But I mean, yeah. But at that time, I mean, at that 3 years, I was only focusing on learning the language, because I a lot of things happened. My passport get lost between the Langenfeld and Düsseldorf, and this, I mean, took more time even to bring my family to here. So my plan was changing all the time. Like the last plan was, okay, I will bring my family on my own. So I have to find a job. And so I was too busy, to be honest, on focusing on this goal. In between, I helped some people, I do some activity, but like my plan was, I have to finish the language, find a job, just in case it doesn't work as a family reunion, so I can bring my family, because I'm working here and I need them. I can also offer, I mean, pay for them. So I was a little bit, I mean, not connected to the woman or such activities. I just was, I mean, doing that personally. Knowing people who need help, helping in my field, in the camps I were, also living there, trying to get connection with some, I mean, organizations and refugees and blah, blah, blah. But this was like completely a personal effort. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to expand that and meet people and organize something, because I was all the time busy in organizing my stuff. Yeah. And yeah, and then one friend of me, mm-hmm, yeah, told me about the Mom's Mic, and yeah, and she told me like if it's a good idea. Actually, this was like, I mean, I after my family was here, so I was like, okay. Now, I mean, my main goal is accomplished. So, yeah, I can do something else now. And I thought, yeah, it's a perfect idea. And from the minute we met online, because it was always in this COVID-19 time. So I was telling Mahta, this is a good idea. I have a lot to say. I mean, all these 3 years, I have, oh my God, I have a lot to say, and I think a lot has to change also. But actually, I'm alone and always busy with my stuff, so it's a good opportunity to do that together. And yeah, and we just talk about it, and yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I just tell you something really quickly about how I met Nadia. I don't know how I met Nadia, actually.
Me too.
I went to this small feminist, like very small feminist festival in Mülheim in summer.
I even don't know the story.
And there I met this woman, Bell. And from here, a shout out to Bell. Bell is a great connection. And she, you know, it is never easy to be a woman of color going to a feminist festival in Germany. It is never easy. Yeah. It is a claim.
Say it again. It needs to be heard.
Say it again. It needs to be heard.
Why? Why? How? Tell us.
It's embarrassing to say, you know, because we... It's the truth, but still, as a feminist, you don't want to be... If I criticize my feminist sisters here, I want it to be really precise and not, you know, in a very... in a way that shows my good intentions. But after all, it is really not easy to be a woman of color going to a feminist festival with a little one, where you see on the announcement that there is Kinderbetreuung, but you go there and it is really not prepared for accepting a woman of color. I don't want to be... there is no claim of being objective here, because I made really, really good experiences. I met great people there with whom I worked also later, coordinated later for other events. But yeah, then among all those people whom I met there, there was Beau, with whom I really made a connection, and she made also a great connection with my little one. So while I was there, she really helped with the translation and everything. And then she added me to this Telegram group of activists. And there I wrote that, yeah, I have this idea and I want to make this initiative really happen. And from there, the word was spread, and I think Bill forwarded it to some friends, and then from those friends, I found Nadia, and she came here to Essen once, and we went to this Ehrenamtagentur Essen together, and we went for a walk, and yeah, we really connected. So this is how we met.
One friend, Beo had told another, asked in Düsseldorf, friends in Düsseldorf, and then I get a WhatsApp message. There is a lady who is interested to do this and that. And I was like, I was not sure if Mahtab wants me as a guest in her program or... to take a part. So I said, wow, it's a good idea. I would love to do that. And then first time we met on WhatsApp or something, I was asking her, yeah, this is a great idea, but what is my part? Do you want me as a guest or do you want me like to take a part in this? And she said, whatever you want. And I want to take a part, please. Yeah, and this is
how... Nadia was like, yeah, just give me a mic. I have a lot to say.
There is a lot to say here. And regarding to the writing, I would love to write about... Just did you say? I mean, sometimes the people understand the concept wrongly.
Let's continue a bit. Let's deep the storyline.
Yeah.
We come to those issues.
One thing is, we would like to really encourage other women to perhaps do something like you did. Okay. This is also that. Producing your own voice. The difficulty about this is also that we need to use these gadgets. And I'm putting all this now into the recording, because in order to make good recordings, we need to have headphones on and we need to keep, if we at all can, keep the recorder in our hand. Because that only then we have the control of it, you know. I know, and Mom's Mike will tell us now that their first episode was made very, very different. And we would like to listen to this now, how your first episode was made. You have your own way of... Please, because it's very important, because I love this, there is nothing that can stop you. You always have, if it's only pen and paper, or you have your mind to memorize, but you always have something. There is nothing that can stop you. And you practiced it in what you did because you were driven. But give us the story. Give us the story bit by bit. We want to know all the details. But please use your microphone nicely. So we have a nice voice.
Can you hear me well?
We are just okay. Okay. She gives me a little insight by lifting the computer screen so I can see the recorder is placed somewhere so that she doesn't need to touch it too much, because these recorders are very touchy. You need to be very careful when you have them in your
hand. Okay.
I think we need to practice that. I mean, how to hold it in your hand without having this all the time.
Yeah, because you need your hands to talk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, we need a radio studio.
Right, we need a radio studio.
We need a radio studio.
Yeah, maybe we can establish that. Wait for me.
Yeah, we're all waiting for Nadia's Verein to be established. This is how it actually started. I initially started with telling my story when my little one was like around 10 months old, and I thought I would produce something in Persian. So I sat on my laptop and I searched what is the easiest application ever to make a podcast. Because I used to listen to a lot of podcasts, and I really, really thought this is the new medium that is so, yeah, considering that it doesn't need like a huge amount of resources, it is something that can really be democratized and accessible to many people to make their voice heard. And I found an application that was really easy to use, so you just basically press record, and I had no idea whatsoever what voice it would record, what the quality would be like. However, I made two episodes and then somehow stopped with that. But then I learned that, okay, there is this application where you can record, you can do a bit of editing. I also used it for making interviews and recording interviews with some other women. So for Mom's Mic, I also used this really easy, not very sophisticated application.
Can I just ask in between, did you use it via the laptop or the telephone?
Both, actually. Both. For the recording, I used my cell phone, but for editing, I used mostly my laptop. In addition to this application, we did most of the recording via WhatsApp, because for some... it's not very complicated. You just need to click on the link so you can be connected to me as the host and I can record the conversation. But sometimes it didn't work, so we thought we would replace it with WhatsApp messages. So I would send my question via WhatsApp and then the other person would reply also there. Then I would transfer the recording to this application and make the show with everything digital and online. And in this corona time also, this was the only way possible. And it was before I knew anything about microphones and the possibility of making a very nice quality voice. Yeah, this is how we made the first episode.
Okay.
WhatsApp.
Thank you. Perhaps Nadia can add from here, because the story is also that each of the women, because you were five at the time, isn't it, contributing, you all were at home with your telephone and you had to produce your story, your voice. That's not easy to have the drive to do this, possibly, or the concentration, or make the time. you know? How did it work for you, Nadia?
I mean, I was actually, I admired the idea that we have a platform and we can talk about a lot of things. But when it came to the first episode, like, I have no idea. I'm not that person with social media and everything. I'm not that one. And this applications, and I was like, okay, what, how, tell me. And she told me, because I thought, like, doing such things, someone will come with a microphone, it's an interview, and yeah, normally it's like this. And Nahda told me, look, I have this application, I tried before, it's okay. And I was like, what is this application? I downloaded, and I'm really not that good. And I was like looking, and I said, okay, I can manage that. And and I tried a lot, and I was, to be honest, first time I was really afraid after recording, because lack of experience, that can be afraid after recording something, if I press anything in this anchor, and then like my record disappeared. And I was, because it was really not easy to do, to record, so I just don't wanted to anything to happen. And then I listened to that, so I thought it's not a good recording from my, also from my huge experience in and at the end I thought, okay, if, because yeah, nee, Mahtab told me, she told me, if you want like the voice to be good, you have to go inside a cupboard and sit inside and record, so there is no sound echo. And I thought about it, I don't have any, actually any big cupboard, can I go inside? So I thought, okay, I will bring my blanket and sit under the blanket and light, I don't know, my phone, my phone light, and read the, and this is what's happened. I just closed the door, sit under the blanket, and try to record it. And I was really afraid, like, I have to record this and send it to Mahtab. And this is, was, I mean, yes, I did my part. So that was only the only part I did it at that time.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, we want to make a good recording, we have to avoid the echoey, the voice coming from the walls. So that's why we put a scarf over our head, or go under the blanket, or go into a different room that is not like concrete walls all over. If it's a wooden room, perhaps you are very fortunate and you have a sauna at home. Go into your sauna. Or the attic.
I actually asked this from a friend who does work in a studio in Tehran. And she told me that, yeah, everyone has done it at least once in their life, that they have gone into the Schrank and recorded, and I really made it to studio at that time. Because otherwise there, and you can hear from other moms that in the background there is the voice of the children, and the quality is a bit different from, yeah, but this is the real life of a mom.
If it's like surround, you know, the environmental sound, the ambient sound of a home, this can be very nice. You can still bring your microphone close to your mouth and you make a nice recording. That's very possible, you know. But you need a good mic to do that, of course. I have a different question, though, because, you know, you were five women. But when I did the workshop with Mom's Mic, it was the two of you. Now we are talking with the two of you. You know, obviously, perhaps, I don't know, the other women were perhaps not so successful to overcome all these struggles, all these difficulties, to make the time, the extra time of becoming also a radio artist. You know, can you say something about this?
Yeah, so as I said, my friend Negin, she gave birth to a little one, so she's now all on her own with the little one and the other one, sometimes at the kindergarten, like mine, some days at the kindergarten, sometimes at home. So I think with two children, it's really difficult to manage. And honestly, my other friend, Rosie, she had her daughter in the kindergarten at the university, but then her husband is done with his studies, so she doesn't have a kindergarten place. And she's all the time taking care of a young child. We sometimes chat, but I can imagine that it is really tiring and difficult to have not even one single hour for herself. And, you know, establishing a new life is also a struggle. I imagine that sometimes her husband would love to help, but I also understand that he has just started, so done with the PhD and started a new job and not knowing much German. I don't know how much of this you would need, but I imagine that it is a part of the story that even your partner is so busy integrating and struggling at the workplace that when he wants to contribute, he doesn't have a lot of energy to play a part. So
and that all under Corona.
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah. Like, from let's also come to the bringing together of all the pieces, because that's also not an easy story. I imagine each of the five women recording their thing at home, and then you as the editors, or mainly Marta, bringing it together. So editing means choosing. Did it happen that were everyone happy with the final result, or was there debate? Was there upsetness, or I don't know what, you know, anything is possible, isn't it? Because at the end, it's a subjective choice, and editing is an authored listening. It's always someone who has chosen and says, this is what I have heard.
Yeah. Can I?
How was it for you?
Actually, I said previously that I have no idea about everything. And I know also, like, I was under blanket trying to do that. But I know exactly how that works with the other ladies. And this was like, to be honest, I have no experience, but it was obviously like some beginners trying to do something, because it was like interview via WhatsApp. So Mahtab sent the questions and the people sent the answers. I mean, I think nobody heard about a podcast or radio program be recorded like this. And for me, at the end, when the editing was finished and Mahtab sent me the whole thing together, I was like, oh my God, this works. Because I was doing that, I was so excited. Exactly. But when I hear, and with the music in between, and I was like, we are professional people here, huh? I was pretty sure that with this really beginner's level and anchor thing and our phones and like sending voice messages, I never expected that's gonna be good. And after that, when the people heard that and they was like, this is a great job, I was like, of course it's a great job. I didn't even believe it, and for me it was more than satisfying. Yeah, from my
Mahtab, it was you. I mean, who was driven enough to do it and to make the time? That's pretty amazing. How did you do it?
How did I do it? I thought we really needed this platform. I thought we had a. With all these women separately, I had a lot of conversations over years. I remember once I told Nagin, when will I be me again? After I gave birth to my son, after a while. And I was so not myself that I told her when I returned to what I was, and she said you will be the same person when he's two, and I was not the same person when he was two. And I really wanted to.
You never be the same person after you are.
So this was the exactly. So this is what I thought. I thought, okay, I'm not the same person. Let's go through this journey to explore who I am now and who are these other women who are doing this great job of bringing a child into this world and, being beside them. Within this this environment that is so new to them, like you are as a migrant, as a refugee, you are new here. Everything is new for you, and then you have this child who is also new. And I see all these women around me, and they are, amazing. They are doing a great job. So I thought, we make this platform, and we make ourselves heard. We tell other women who are in the same situation that they are doing an amazing job, and they are not seen on the television or the radio or the newspaper, or not everyone has the privilege, as you just said, to have some hours on their own to sit and write and record and edit and make themselves heard. But this is an experience that should not just disappear into the thin air, because if some things change, then maybe some of this suffering can turn into joy. We don't have to just share what we suffer. We go through a lot of nice things, encouraging similar experiences. Now she's crying and I cannot concentrate.
I'm so sorry.
Nadia.
I am so sorry.
It's the reflection on your story, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's like you never be the person you were before. I'm crying. I mean, this is not like sad story actually, but it's sometimes really,
it is difficult. Confusing.
Yeah, I mean, so because you talk about like Najin's, she has two kids, and Aram also just little kids, and my daughter is 8, but like, so I can say, when she's 8, you are the same, you will never be the same person before. But I mean, it's like always something in between, because that person is still inside you, and now you have extra as a mom. And I mean, it's not easy at all, but it's lovely and nice at the same time. So yeah, so sometimes it's too difficult, but it's worth it.
You know, it's like an extra responsibility to make the world more, I don't want to say better anymore, just more bearable for our children.
The world will be better. And we will keep trying.
Let me try to bring it back also to the media, because we are talking about producing ourselves, representing ourselves, producing our own stories and voices. And I remember that at the beginning of your first radio show, you were saying you have all searched for such representations in the mainstream media and you did not find represented. Perhaps we can reflect even from this very emotional ending now on this. What did you mean And how did it feel after you produced your first show? Can something be said about this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I already said I even didn't believe it, that it was like the final result. It was for me like, wow, we are the best here. And I still think we are the best, like. But like from really this simple everything, simple equipment, people has no idea, actually, just like me. I don't think Mahtab also like profi. We are all just moms. I mean, moms with a lot of everything, problems, no time, small kids, you know. And but after that, I mean, because the first episode was talking also about COVID-19, so it should be like this because we are in COVID time. So, but after that, I mean, for example, the people who listened to us, I mean, they were really encouraging, like this. I mean, even me, I didn't think it was like, wow. I was like, wow, because we do something, we did something from nothing. But like when the people listened to it, they were also, what you did was really great, keep going on. And I don't know. And I was like actually surprised because I thought, yeah, okay, I'm a mom sitting here and I met another mom, I mean, via WhatsApp, of course. And we just decide to do something. And this thing was so, I mean, we were amateur here. And like everybody was, yeah, keep going on. This is really good. And yeah, and I was like, okay. And we were talking because we were talking one time, like we can publish this on iTunes, I don't know, I mean, YouTube. We will keep going on no matter what, we will not stop. And yeah, and I mean, the people who actually later on, the encouraging, I even didn't believe that there is people listening to us and extra, they encouraging us. So it was like, okay, we have to do more and more. For me, this was like really big motivation to keep going on with all these problems.
Mahtab, you want to add?
I want to put it out, but I want us to reflect on it later because it's a problematic thing very much. This is not something that I would normally tell a German, but I'm just putting it out for us to reflect on because, you know, in the media, it is when it comes to Middle Eastern women, when there is representation of a woman with hijab. This is super problematic, and this is a very, very subjective viewpoint. So I don't know if I want it recorded or not, but I'm just saying it loud what I think. I think this is like secular activist leftist viewpoint of women from the Middle East is really, really, really minimal in the media. Because Islam has, I am not Islamophobic. Of course, it's a human rights issue, and this has nothing to do with what I'm saying. Because Islam has just turned into a problem for the German society, and there is a discourse over this. So the media that wants to be politically correct needs to like represent the women who are covered, and they have every single right to be covered, of course. And they have every single right to be represented. But like parallel to this, there is this population of other feminist women from Syria, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, countries that are mostly represented to be Islamic, And they are like people like me and Nadia are underrepresented and repressed in their own countries. And when we come here, we are also so very much marginalized, because even for feminists here, it is complicated to come to terms that, for example, in Iran, there is this struggle against compulsory hijab or against like traditions that are against women, because they don't want to be accused of being Islamophobic, but they also need to recognize this struggle. And I understand that there is this dilemma. So this show, I try to give a platform to moms, to women who are political activists, who are social activists, who are feminists, who are trying to form their voice, but also discover in themselves what becoming a mother brought to them as a responsibility of making the world a better, a more secure place. That is also, even in activist movements here, kind of marginalized. So specifically, for example, I really wanted to go to this Black Lives Matter demonstration, but my son was sick on that day, so I couldn't make it. But it was really, really important for me to give this message that I feel so much solidarity with them. I want to show our solidarity. We want to show our solidarity with a movement that is looking for justice and is a movement that we want to support, we want to be part of. So this is, this media as a platform for us to engage with each other, but also to encourage each other. But as Nadia said, this feedback we received was also mostly from our feminist friends, German friends who are listening to us, also across other cities in Germany where we were broadcasted via Freie Radios. They gave us really encouraging feedbacks. And the fact that motherhood is a political issue, it is not something out of this society. It is something that is formed by our situation. And with this situation changing, our situation can be improved. The situation of our children can be improved. So it is something that connects us to this society and pushes us to push for change.
You have been listening to the story of Moms Mic Radio, a group of migrant and refugee women and activist moms in the Ruhr Valley of Germany. The show was produced jointly with Radio Continental Drift, recorded on 3 individual recorders in different homes and joined in the open source editing software Audacity. Music by Crystal DJ Kwai Favel. Moms Mic Radio is a part of Netzwerk Medienvielfalt, a project of the Free Radios of Germany. Find out more at medienvielfalt.net and colorfulvoices.net. Thank you for listening. Moms Mic Radio ist eine Gruppe von Frauen und Müttern im Ruhrgebiet. Die erste Radioshow entstand schon unter Lockdown-Bedingungen, allein mit Smartphone-Aufnahmen und schierer Selbstmotivation. Denn in den üblichen Medien fanden die Frauen ihre Erfahrungen als Migrantinnen, Geflüchtete, Aktivistinnen und Mütter nicht wieder. Also musste man das Medienmachen selbst in die Hand nehmen. Und genau das taten sie. Radio Continental Drift wollte es genau wissen. Und so kam es zu dieser Sendung. Auch diese produziert in Lockdown-Isolation. Moms Mic ist inzwischen vernetzt über das Netzwerk Medienvielfalt der Freien Radios. Mehr Informationen auf medienvielfalt.net und colorfulvoices.net. Danke fürs Zuhören.
Politik, Religion, Frauenrecht und auch Spaß. In der Frauenhour gibt's für jeden was. Musik in jedem Stil, wir sind da völlig frei. Hört doch einmal rein, auch für euch ist was dabei.